Introduction. By the close of 1864, Abraham Lincoln had been reelected, the Union Army had taken Nashville from General Hood, and Sherman had concluded his total war, slash-and-burn march of destruction to Savannah, Georgia, offering it as a Christmas present to Lincoln. Nevertheless, with everything seemingly falling to pieces, the South still held out hope of some sort of miracle, and Davis even attempted to send a peace delegation to meet with Lincoln in the early months of 1865. On January 28, 1865, as Union General Ulysses S. Grant was continuing to lay siege to Lee's army at Pittsburg, Virginia, Davis sent three commissioners headed by Vice President Stevens to initiate informal peace talks with Lincoln. By February 3rd, however, the talks, known as the Hampton Road Conference, came to a stalemate as Lincoln would accept nothing less than total union, while Davis would only accept Southern independence. Even at that point, the South was clearly on its last legs. General George H. Thomas destroyed John Bell Hood's Confederate army at the battles of Nashville and Franklin, leaving only two large Confederate armies still in the field. Lee's army was weakened by desertion, lack of supplies and casualties, and Joseph E. Johnston's army could barely resist against Sherman's army as it was advancing north toward Virginia. From 1863 to 1865, Confederate leaders had even debated whether to conscript black slaves and enlist them as soldiers. Even as their fortunes looked bleak, the Confederates refused to issue an official policy to enlist blacks. It was likely too late to save the Confederacy anyway. On April 1, 1865, the Union Army finally broke the Confederate Army's siege lines around Petersburg at the Battle of Five Forks. When fighting across the siege lines erupted the next day, it forced Lee to make a disorderly retreat of both Petersburg and nearby Richmond. Left no choice with Lee's retreat, the Confederate government hurriedly evacuated Richmond, taking as many papers as they could, and Davis moved his headquarters to Danville, Virginia on April 3rd. On April 4th, President Lincoln entered Richmond and famously toured the White House of the Confederacy, sitting at Davis's desk. To most observers, the South was clearly reaching its end, but Davis had no intention of quitting the war. Even while he was fleeing, he attempted to order Confederate generals in the field to keep fighting. On April 9, 1865, Lee formally surrendered his weary army to Grant at Appomattox. Appomattox is frequently cited as the end of the Civil War, but there still remain several Confederate armies across the country, mostly under the command of Johnston, the same commander who arrived with reinforcements by rail during the First Battle of Bull Run and gave the South hope with victory in the first major battle. But on April 26, 1865, Johnston defied Davis's orders and surrendered all of his forces to General Sherman. Over the next month, the remaining Confederate forces would surrender or quit. Thus, by May, millions of Americans were breathing a collective sigh of relief that the Civil War was finally over. General Lee had surrendered his Army of Northern Virginia in April, followed quickly by all other commanders of major armies. Besides a few diehards in places like Missouri and the Indian Territory, there was no armed resistance to federal control. The long, hard road to Reconstruction had begun, or so everyone had thought. West of the Mississippi, in places like western Louisiana and Texas, the rebels still dreamed of holding out. It was here that the final chapter of the Civil War was written, a chapter that is strange and completely unnecessary. It was here, more than a month after the South lost the Civil War, that the South won the last battle of that war. The last skirmish between the two sides technically took place May 12th and 13th, ending ironically with a Confederate victory at the Battle of Palmito Ranch in Texas. As fate would have it, the last fighting of the Civil War took place 2 days after President Davis had been captured in Georgia, and his capture remained controversial for several decades. Davis still hoped to escape federal authorities, but his luck ran out on May 10th in Irwinville, Georgia, when he and his family were spotted. While attempting to run, Davis slung his wife's overcoat over his shoulders. In the North, Davis was portrayed as attempting to disguise himself as a woman to avoid capture. Publications gladly ran cartoons depicting Davis in dresses and women's attire. Placed in heavy shackles, he was transported to Fort Monroe, Virginia, where he was charged with treason and planning to assassinate Lincoln. Despite the serious charges Davis faced, no links were ever conclusively established between Booth's conspiracy and the Confederate government, though it's possible that some members of the Confederate intelligence services and espionage officials had done some coordinating with members of Booth's conspiracy. And in the following few years, President Johnson and the Radical Republicans were more concerned about fighting each other over the course of Reconstruction, with Johnson favoring more conciliatory policies. On December 25, 1868, treason charges were officially dropped against him, much to Davis's chagrin. Davis actually relished the possibility of challenging the charges in court and was dismayed that he wasn't given a soapbox to make his arguments. The Battle of Palmito Ranch, the history of the last battle of the Civil War, looks at the last battle of the Civil War between organized armies on both sides. In this audiobook, you will learn about the Battle of Palmito Ranch like never before.